The first case this morning is Amedi versus Gonzalez.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Alexandra Baranek, and I represent Mr. Amedi, the petitioner in this matter. The sole reason Mr. Amedi's application for asylum was denied was the immigration judge's finding that the harm suffered by Mr. Amedi did not rise to the level of past persecution because it did not threaten either his life or freedom. The immigration judge's decision specifically stated, the harm suffered by the respondent did not threaten his life or freedom to the extent described by the Seventh Circuit and Balazowski v. INS. Yet this court's decision in Balazowski did not find that persecution required an individual's life or freedom be threatened. On the contrary, this court in Balazowski clearly found persecution is seemingly a broader concept than threats to life or freedom, the phrase used in the withholding of deportation statute. Furthermore, while threats to life or freedom are uniformly found to be persecution, the harm need not rise to that level. While persecution has not been specifically defined, this court in Mita v. INS found that while mere harassment is insufficient to constitute persecution, detention, arrest, interrogation, imprisonment, illegal searches, confiscation of property, surveillance, beatings, and torture do constitute persecution. The facts surrounding this case are undisputed. Mr. Amedi's father was imprisoned for nearly 10 years by the Albanian government for political reasons. In 1973, Mr. Amedi's family's home was confiscated by the government, and the family, including Mr. Amedi, was forced to live in an internment camp for 18 years. The family was not released from the labor camp until 1991. Mr. Amedi's father fled Albania and was granted asylum in the United States. Mr. Amedi continued to reside in Albania and was detained by agents of the Socialist Party and physically beaten on two separate occasions. In addition, his life was threatened on numerous occasions.
Now, you agree that he has to show that there was past persecution as well as an anticipated fear for future persecution.
Yes, Your Honor, but because... Because Mr. Amedi suffered past persecution, it is presumed that he has a well-founded fear of persecution.
Yeah, but haven't the political circumstances changed in Albania? And
Your Honor,
wasn't that the finding of the immigration judge? And isn't the DP now have ruling status?
Yes, Your Honor. The Democratic Party won the elections, the recent elections, but at the time of the hearing, that was not the case. The Socialist Party was still in power at the time of the hearing, and the judge did not find that there were changed country conditions. The judge did find that the only finding that the judge made was that the harm that the petitioner suffered did not rise to the level of past persecution.
But we can certainly take into account changed circumstances in the country at this point, can't we?
At this point, it is absolutely premature to assume that a very recent regime change in Albania eliminates Mr. Amedi's well-founded fear of persecution. Mr. Amedi was deprived of his freedom for the first 18 years of his life. The family was released from the internment camp once the Communist Party lost power, but the Democratic Party's power was short-lived, as in 1997, the Socialist Party, comprised of many of the same communists who controlled the country before the Democratic Party took power.
Do we know what this internment involved?
Your Honor, unfortunately, the record is not clear. There aren't specific details as to the conditions in the camp. What we do know is that in 1973, the government confiscated the family's home, their possessions, and their property, and forced them to live in a labor camp for 18 years.
Now,
that
of course,
we do
part
know.
Of why we don't know the details of the internment is because Amedi never presented that any evidence to the IJ or the BIA that the internment constituted past persecution. So there was really no vetting, so to speak, of the evidence that would shed light on the conditions.
There was a certificate presented that did establish that the family was...
That's the 18 years
internment. The family was forced to live in the camp for 18 years, and there were not specific details of the camp other than the family's home was confiscated and the family was forced to live in the labor camp for 18 years.
And when the father testified about the internment, he just said they had been required to live in an internment place, right?
Yes. The incidents endured by Mr. Ahmedi, when evaluated cumulatively, clearly amount to more than mere harassment and rise to the level of past persecution. In fact, while harm need not threaten an individual's life or freedom to rise to the level of persecution, the harm suffered by Mr. Ahmedi did, in fact, deprive him of his life and freedom, and therefore clearly rises to the level of past persecution. Mr. Ahmedi's home was confiscated, and he was forced to live in a labor camp for the first 18 years of his life. After their release, the family was kept under surveillance. During the first incident of physical abuse endured by Mr. Ahmedi, agents of the government beat him with their fists, struck him with the butt of a gun, and threatened to stop his activities with the Democratic Party. During his last detention in September of 1998, Mr. Ahmedi was accosted while participating in a peaceful demonstration. A member of the Secret Service specifically threatened and reminded Mr. Ahmedi about the consequences his family had suffered as a result of their political activities, including the murder of Mr. Ahmedi's uncle and imprisonment of his father. Mr. Ahmedi was then beaten with rubber batons and held for 24 hours. The immigration judge incorrectly relied on Balazaski v. INS for the premise that persecution requires a threat to an individual's life or freedom. Persecution need not be atrocious, and even economic deprivation alone has been found to rise to the level of past persecution. Persecution is more than mere harassment, and the harm suffered by Mr. Ahmedi clearly rises above mere harassment when evaluated cumulatively.
Now, he didn't receive any medical attention from these beatings, did he?
Your Honor, that is not part of the record. He was not taken to the hospital after this.
Right, and there's no evidence that he saw a doctor that was presented.
There's no evidence that he saw a doctor either, Your Honor. Threats to his life and the beating he endured in 1998 were directly related to the family's political past in Albania. Because Mr. Ahmedi suffered past persecution, it is presumed that he has a well-founded fear of future persecution. This presumption can only be rebutted with a fundamental change in country conditions. It is premature to assume that a very recent regime change in Albania eliminates Mr. Ahmedi's well-founded fear of persecution. Mr. Ahmedi and his family were deprived of their lives and freedom for 18 years under the communist regime. The family was released from the internment camp once the Communist Party lost power. But the Democratic Party's power was short-lived, as in 1997, the Socialist Party, comprised of many of the same communists who controlled the country before the Democratic Party and who persecuted many individuals, took power. It is unclear now how long the Democratic Party will remain in power. Moreover, Mr. Ahmedi may not fear the current government in Albania. However, he does fear a group that the current government is unable to control. For this exact reason, he remains entitled to asylum, and the decision of the immigration judge, because it is not supported by substantial evidence, must be reversed.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Ms. Ritt.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Erica Ritt, and I represent the Attorney General in this matter. In this case, substantial evidence supports the immigration judge's finding that petitioner did not establish past persecution. Starting with the family history. This family history is significantly, extremely remote in time, going back decades. It was under the former communist regime. The communists have not had power in Albania since 1991. And in fact, as Your Honor noted, the Democratic Party, petitioner's party, the party that his family has supported for decades, is currently in control in Albania. In fact, the State Department found that their victory was the Democratic Party and its allies returned to power in a decisive victory this last July. And their leader was sworn in as prime minister on September 11, 2005. Very significant change in the country conditions in Albania. But even before 2005, looking at the 2001 country conditions report that the immigration judge considered and had before her, the immigration judge noted that, according to the country conditions report, all parties, which included the Democratic Party, were active without a pattern of mistreatment. And there was no post-communist tradition of retribution.
What about counsel's argument that, you know, they may have won in 2005, but there's no guarantee they would last, nor could they control this element he fears? What's your response to that?
My response is twofold. First of all, the element that he feared, he talked about the security police and that many of them were former socialists. Even in 2001, going back to that country report that the immigration judge relied on, she found that their numbers had been, security force numbers, had as far back as 2001 been substantially reduced through attrition and resignation, and that they currently have no internal political role. Also, the petitioner himself, during his testimony, stated that no government agency, and he was referencing the police force at this time, would be separated from the government, therefore they do as the government pleases. Well, this government is currently a democratic government. So by Mr. Ahmadi's own logic, he should have no fear of internal police forces because they're going to do as his government, the government he supported for years, pleases. The socialists were in power in this country for a period of time. However, the Democrats are in power, and the trend that we saw, again, going back as far as 2001, was an equalization in the powers that the different parties held. So I believe, Your Honor, that the trend has been there for years. Even though the election is relatively recent, there's no reason to doubt that either the Democrats will remain in power or that the political situation in Albania has stabilized. I think it's important to note that in 1997 and 1998, when the petitioner faced some of these incidents, Albania was going through a period of time that the State Department characterized as chaotic or near anarchy because of the collapse of their economic system. This was basically perhaps the perfect storm of facts that came together on a lot of these issues. That doesn't exist in Albania any longer. Going back to the family history, it was pointed out that the father was imprisoned for 10 years and that he was granted asylum in 1996. The fact that the father was granted asylum is not relevant to this case. We don't know the facts of the father's asylum claim. What we do know is that the petitioner did not feel the need to apply for asylum in 1996. And in fact, he attempted to enter this country in 93 or 94 and did not apply for asylum at that point. He even left Albania for Greece in 1995 and then voluntarily returned to Albania post-communist regime, post his claim of the internment camp, because he found it a better place to live than Greece. He's returned to Albania twice, and only when he was stopped at the border with a false passport did he then apply for asylum. Also, the issues of the post-communist tradition, I think it's important to point out that petitioner felt comfortable enough to date the daughter of a former communist leader. Much has been made of the threat.
That might just be good political maneuvers, like marrying the boss's daughter.
You know, a consideration that perhaps we should take into account, but I don't think that really applies here. As he said, he didn't think that they would have problems. He said that on the record. He thought it could work out. Now, some of these threats have been cited by petitioner were threats that were specifically made by his girlfriend's father. Yes, he did have a role with the security police. However, he did have a role as the girlfriend's father, someone's dad. Don't date my daughter. In fact, some of these threats were specifically tied to that relationship. And when that relationship ended, which it most certainly has, the petitioner is now married in this country, so have the threats. Those threats are no longer a concern or should be provide a reasonable fear to Mr. Ahmadi. The first incident where petitioner says that he was beaten or hit, I think it's very, very important to point out that contrary to petitioner's argument, we do not know that these men who did hit petitioner on the day he was helping the deputy acting as a friend of a friend chauffeur. We don't know that these were government agents. We don't know that these were government actors. They were masked men who were socialists, but not all socialists were employed by the government. In fact, the only person whose identity was known that day was a neighbor of the petitioner's. And the petitioner, during his testimony to the immigration judge, noted that that neighbor was not employed by the government. This was not a government action. This was a heated dispute on election day in a hotly contested area that petitioner admitted the socialists had a win there. This was one party giving the other party a hard time. It wasn't state action. I think it's, again, important to note that since the socialists are no longer in power, there is nothing that petitioner can fear from them. Petitioner can have no fear of any government that he and his family have supported for decades. And that the record is supported, and there is nothing in the evidence that would compel a contrary conclusion. For these reasons, I ask that the court affirm the finding of the board and dismiss the petition for review.
Thank you, Ms. Ritt.
Thank you.
You have 2 minutes of rebuttal.
Your Honors, I would submit that the immigration judge found Mr. Ahmedi's testimony credible. She found that he had, in fact, been beaten and harassed, in her words, by members of the then ruling party, the Socialist Party. And our contention is that the harm that he did suffer was past persecution and not merely harassment. With all due respect, how can an 18-year forced residency in a labor camp be too remote to be considered? Mr. Ahmedi's home, his family's possessions, and his property were confiscated by the government before the family was deprived of their life and freedom for 18 years. In 1991, the Communist Party of Labor renamed itself the Socialist Party, and the Prime Minister who... The individual who was a prime minister in 1991, Mr. Fatos Nano, was elected as prime minister in 1997 when the Socialist Party won the elections. The incident and the numerous threats against the life of Mr. Ahmedi are directly connected to his family's political past, and it cannot be argued that the 18-year detention in a labor camp is too remote to be considered, or that the harm, when evaluated cumulatively, does not rise to the level of past persecution. For this basis, we believe that the decision of the immigration judge should be reversed. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement, and we move to the second case this morning.